The Federal Trade Commission is changing how big tech companies handles data. The government secures election systems for November. How Amazon and GE are stopping counterfeiters, and another big tech company gets hacked with ransomware. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to The Computer Doctor Show, your headquarters for up-to-date scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. This is episode 101. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Thanks for tuning in with us every Saturday at 2 p.m., and we post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com, and we would love to hear from you, so give us a call during the show with your computer, internet, and cybersecurity comments and questions on our open studio line, 520-790-2040. Co-hosting today with me is Rob from the Cast the Unscrewed Theater.
Oh, thank you, Aaron. It's good to be here, and I'm happy to be here with you to kick off your second set of 100 episodes.
That's the goal here for another 100, and we celebrated our 100th episode last time we broadcasted. We had a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll be on the air for many, many more years, hopefully. We would like to show some love to the expert technicians at Perfection Auto Works. While the price of everything is going up, in a way, hopefully not a way, there are still some things that are for free. So we want you to take advantage of the free 26-point inspection at Perfection Auto Works and their mighty good AC service. For an appointment, call 520-323-8650. Again, 520-323-8650. We have a great show. So some of the news that broke this week, the Federal Trade Commission, or the FTC, is changing how big tech technology companies handle their data. There's a growing interest of how big tech collects and uses data. So places like Facebook, or what's left of Facebook, there's Meta, Instagram, WhatsApp, all the social medias, they come into play for this. But there's a lot of focus on the Meta services, the WhatsApp and Facebook, Instagram. So the companies that now collect personal data on individuals at a massive scale is in a stunning array of contexts. So they look at your location. They now look at your conversations. What else do they look at? They might even have the ability to turn on your microphone, turn on your camera, you know, and it all goes into this thing called this algorithm. And once it gets in there, it starts stirring up all kinds of outputs of that can give you just about any piece of information that they're wanting, you know, where people's interests are. Okay, how many times that they flash this picture do people click on it? Things, you know, it's like click candy.
Where do you stop scrolling and pause and look at something?
Yes. Yeah,
what catches your eye?
Yes, exactly. So you don't even have to click on it anymore. The mere fact that you stopped. We must have, you know, caught your eye there. So they take all kinds of things like this. Also, trying to find the mainframe located in Beijing. Thanks a lot, Tom, for that one. But there's all kinds of algorithms. So the companies are under all of these companies that handle data, they're under this thing called the American Privacy and Protection Act. Act that's called the Advanced Notice of Proposed Rulemaking.
Wait, we have privacy?
It can be
a little dicey on that one.
It's like privacy.
Privacy-ish.
It's not bacon. It's bacon-like. You know, so it's something along those lines. But so the question is more regulation, is more definitions of privacy needed is what they're going after. So coming up on September 8th, and we're going to try to get some coverage on this, the Federal Trade Commission wants to hear from the public in a hearing that is scheduled on September 8th at 2 p.m. We'll put the link on the show notes of this episode. And if you have a very interesting concern about privacy in the big tech space, then it might be of your, it might be a good idea for you to attend and maybe even put up a question or two to the Federal Trade Commission, because they will be able to enforce some regulations on these companies.
Well, I don't want too much privacy, because if I'm looking for a product sometimes, I'll search for it intentionally online and then go to Facebook, and all of a sudden, magically, a coupon code will appear for me. So I want to be able to manipulate the algorithm still, you know?
I'm sorry to tell you, it's not magic. It's algorithms.
Yeah, I know it's algorithms, but I manipulate the algorithms that way. You know? I'm looking for something, I've search for it, and a coupon code magically appears.
All right. Talking about magic, the government is trying to secure election systems for November. That's going to take a magic trick, right? But so the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, released a free information packet this week for election officials to protect against ransomware, phishing, and DDoS attacks this November. As predicted, the threats are higher this election year. So this toolkit that the CISA has put together has a catalog of free services and ways for election agencies to receive technical assistance and guidance throughout the process. The protection packet includes guarding voter websites, emails, networks, misinformation, and disinformation across social medias. The information in the toolkit has an application in Washington, D.C. and in all 50 states. So if you have any connection with the elections this year, you might want to take a look at that packet at the CISA website. Also, now Amazon and GE are stopping counterfeiters. So we were talking about this before the show. Did you know that Amazon actually has fake products?
Well, heaven forbid.
They do. I've bought fake products, not intentionally. I'm not going on there trying to say, okay, fake iPhone or fake, you know, iWatch or something.
I know a genuine Sorny television when I see one.
Do you say Zorny?
Sorny.
Or Sorny, okay. So if, obviously, if the name is like the original, obviously you can know that that is not the real genuine type. But there are some manufacturers on Amazon that are trying to pass their product as the real thing. So companies, now the ones that suffer are the real manufacturers. So companies like GE, Samsung, Sony, Apple, there are things like that on
and
there.
And fashion's very common, the Louis Vuitton type things.
Okay, yeah, well, all the fashion, we got the electronics, but there's an electronics show. We're not going to go with fashion too much. How can you tell? So Amazon actually has a counterfeit crimes unit, and which I didn't know, that they actually have a counterfeit crimes unit that actually is an agency within Amazon that communicates with local global enforcement agencies about counterfeiting. So they partner with them, and they get many sellers that are selling things bootleg or non-genuine items on Amazon using big names, and they are starting to take action against these sellers. One of the ways that they're able to do this is they'll find an item that is being counterfeited, then they will order that item internally within Amazon, send it to the manufacturer that supposedly makes it. The manufacturer examines it, they test it to make sure that it meets their standards, and if it doesn't meet their standards, they send a message back to the Amazon query system, and if it fails that check of that seller that's selling this item that's fake, that account will be shut down. And all of the, everyone that has purchased something, they'll get a refund in the process.
That actually happened to me. They flagged a solar filter I bought for the eclipse a few years ago as a fake product, and I got a refund without having to send the solar filter back. But the thing is, we actually have a filter tester where I work, so we actually tested it on that and found out that it was a genuine filter. It actually, you know, the filter transmission curve matched what it was supposed to be. So I think Amazon might have screwed up on that one.
So you got a fake refund for a real filter.
That's what it looks like,
But it was, but so the...
I got a real refund for a real filter that Amazon thought was fake.
Okay. But maybe the housing didn't meet the specifications, or maybe it was just the filter part that was okay, but there was some other thing. But here's the thing. Counterfeiters can be very, very good. Sometimes they can meet or exceed the standards of the manufacturer's standards. I know that when I used to work for Xerox, for example, almost all my customers, well, I shouldn't say almost all, but I would say about a good number, but maybe about half of all of the contracted customers for copier toner were made by a company other than Xerox, okay, other than the OEM manufacturer. And it takes place all the time with printer ink, okay? Almost all the print, I would say, if you look for the words OEM on Amazon when it comes to printer ink, it'll be very, very difficult to find original equipment manufacturer ink for your printer on Amazon, okay? Same thing with eBay. I mean, they're there, but you have to, like, you probably have to go through probably about 3 or 4 dozen listings just to find them. And then you have to, like, text search for the letters OEM. And then maybe you'll find it, and then it'll say non-OEM, you know, yeah. when you do that. So they are there, but there's a vast majority of them that are counterfeited. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad, but some of them they actually do. And come to find out that I'm talking about years ago, I heard a rumor that Xerox, after finding that this counterfeiter was doing such a good job with copying their toner, they actually became a partner, and they said, "Look, you're making the toner way better than we are. Why don't you just be our main supplier, and we'll send all of our customers to you?"
You're making it cheaper than we are. We'll contract with you and split the difference. How's that sound?
Hey, that sounds like an executive conversation right there. Those are people that play on the golf courts and make those deals. We're going to take our midway commercial break with a word from our sponsors. Up next, science and tech history from this weekend. A network giant, Cisco, gets ransomware. This is the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back.
Miss Ratchet, I'm here to pick up my car. You said it would be ready today.
I'm not sure what you are talking about.
No, I dropped it off and gave you the keys. Now one of us is crazy, and it's not me.
Mr. McMurphy, your hand is staining my window.
Okay, look, I need my car ready or not. I brought it in to get the shocks fixed and the front end aligned. Now just give me the keys, and I'm out of here.
Sit down and join the others, and we'll give your car its shock treatment.
Nah, I'm not falling for this chicken hen crap.
Mr. McMurphy, step in our back room. We need to discuss something with you.
Okay, Chief, you guys, get in the car. We're going to Perfection Auto Works. You know, you loons have got to be as whacked as me to bring your car to Cuckoo's Nest Auto Repair.
When you need a way to cut your mind from the other crazy repair shops, no lobotomy here, just old-fashioned slice and dice on all your car and truck repair needs. 323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. I'm Aaron Moss, your host, along with Rob, co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Speaking of the Unscrewed Theater, Rob, what can you tell us about the Unscrewed Theater?
Well, Unscrewed Theater is a theater for improv comedy. We have shows every Friday and Saturday night at 7:30 or family-friendly. And tonight's the second Saturday of the month, so we have our Uncensored show at 9 o'clock for the adult crowd. You can go to unscrewedtheater.org and find out about all our shows we have all month. We have musical improv, comic book-style improv, family-friendly, uncensored, all kinds of great different shows you can find about unscrewedtheater.org.
You know, when we're talking about privacy and we're talking about censoring, we're like, at the Unscrewed Theater, who does the censoring? Who determines if it's censored or not censored, or if something is said that is censored? Like, who makes it? I guess the performers.
The host has the power of the dreaded Hat of Shame. Dun, dun, dun.
Ooh, okay.
Which has never been washed in over 8 years at the theater. You know, so it's you don't want it on your head, put it that way.
Okay. All right. Well, I wonder if Facebook has the hat of shame.
Facebook needs a hat of shame. It's a strong deterrent.
Or at least your face on the nightly news or something. Okay. Who wants to be a millionaire? Would you like to be a millionaire?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I think there's lots of people out there that would like to be a millionaire. But if you know somebody in the Conti ransomware gang, you can be $10 million richer if you turn them in. And this is something that the government is doing right now. They are offering $10 million to the information leading to the conviction of members of the Conti ransomware gang. Incidentally, this ransomware gang, Conti, has been operating since 2020 and is reported to have infected all versions of Windows. So if you have a Windows computer, you have Conti in there somewhere. And I'm going to say this. I don't know how much trouble I'll get into if I say this, but I'm pretty sure that there's a big button in Russia somewhere that can take out all Windows computers worldwide. I'm certain, pretty certain of that. We do have a question from Mark. He has a question for us. Mark, are you there? Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show.
Well, after your last bit of information there, why bother having computers anymore? Do they really save us time?
We should have a backup. We'll just keep it like that.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of backup, I finally have a reasonable high-speed internet with Verizon and broke down and got rid of my slow internet speed. And now I'm needing to get, I think, to get cloud storage. And what do you recommend? There's so much out there. It makes my head spin.
Carbonate. Carbonate is the best.
Yeah, I used to have
Carbonite.
Okay,
Carbonite or carbonate.
Star Wars fans are having a fit everywhere at that pronunciation.
You have to take Captain Solo into the account. Carbonite is the name of a great cloud backup system. I've used it in many different applications. The reason why I promote it, and I'm not getting paid by them yet, okay? But
that's a goal.
but that just tells you how much I appreciate that piece of software. You said you've used it before?
Yes, I had it for many years, and it was slow internet at the time. I remember it took like a month for me to upload all my data, which was not all that great amount of data. And
So now the speed that it backs up your data is highly dependent on the upload speed of your internet. Yeah. So these days, when you buy internet, a lot of times one of the selling points is how fast the internet is. But what they're really telling you, like if they tell you that it's 100 gigabit speed, that's only download. What you want is high upload. And nowadays, since a lot of people are doing a lot of backups to the cloud, and a lot of video conferencing, the upload of the internet is now becoming more and more important. So that might need to be a discussion you might need to have with the internet company if you're experiencing.
Doesn't
that
Carbonite load. Have a feature where you can send them a hard
new
disk?
Internet,
yeah, I don't know if they do or not. But Mark, what was your other question again?
Yes, so I have Windows 365, which I think comes with some amount of cloud service.
Yes, the OneDrive. That's Microsoft OneDrive.
Yes, right.
That's a fine service also.
Okay, all right.
But one thing, I
don't remember how much I get on it.
Yeah, so usually they'll start you off at 1 terabyte with their basic Azure or 365 service. They'll give you 1 terabyte and...
Well, that's good. That's a lot.
Here's the things you have to be careful of. When you use that in conjunction with OneDrive, OneDrive backs up a file on your computer, it actually erases it from the drive. It still shows up in your file system, and it looks like it's on the hard drive. But I had to learn the hard way because I had a computer crash, and when I tried to restore the drive, all those folders were empty, and the only ones that had my stuff on it was the cloud drive from OneDrive. So you just got to be a little bit careful with that. Okay. But I hope that works out for you.
Yeah. That's great information. Thanks so much. I love your show. You need another hour.
I know. I appreciate that. We do need another hour show. We're running out of time. Let's get into our science and tech history. Rob, what do you have for us? We got quite a few.
August 10th, 1937, Canon was founded 85 years ago.
Canon. We got the cameras, yes. And we got the film. Actually, I think, aren't they still making film? I think Fujifilm was, they were like neck and neck with Fujifilm for a while.
I don't know if they're still making film or not.
Would be a mistake if they were.
Yeah.
So. Okay, what else you got?
This is one I love. August 12th, 1960, the first communication satellite, Echo 1, was launched. This is a passive satellite, not an active one. So it's basically this big satellite, kind of like a big Mylar balloon that inflated in orbit. I looked it up. It's about 100 feet across, and they sort of bounced radio signals off that. So it was not active. It actually just bounced big mirror they bounced stuff off of.
Yeah, I actually got this confused with Telstar. So Telstar was actually about 62 years ago.
Oh, 1962.
No. Yeah, 1962. Yeah. There we go. And that was an active system, I think we missed the history anniversary on that one.
Okay. Yeah, that's in July, so that was a few weeks ago. So
okay, what else you got?
August 12th, 1941, IBM releases its first personal computer, the 5150, for $1,500. And if you want to do an inflation adjustment on that, that's $4,600 today. So we get a good deal on computers these days.
But I know lots of teenagers that are saving up for not their first car, but for their first phone.
Ooh,
that's like the big thing these days. All right, one more.
And finally, going to the Wayback Machine, August 12th, 1877, Thomas Edison invents the phonograph.
Wow, 145 years ago, the phonograph. And we just had your friend on here. Her favorite pastime invention was the Walkman, Sony Walkman. So, you know.
Is that Katya?
No, that was Psy.
Oh, Psy. Okay,
Psy,
cool.
Psy was here last time. And So lots of musical things going on. So that's always interesting. Here is the last point of the show. Another big tech company gets hacked with ransomware. This time it was Cisco.
That's a big one.
It's a surprising big one, because you would think that those that are heavily involved in networking and security, that they would have everything, they would have be on top of it. But in their defense, I think the actor only got maybe 2.8 gigs worth of data. And I know there's way more that encompasses Cisco.
Yeah, Cisco has a little bit more data than that.
A little bit more than 2.8 gigs of information. So very, very interesting with that. But that just goes to show you how important it is, even with the conversation that we had with Mark prior, is the importance of having a very, very good backup. At least once a year, even if you have cloud backup or if you have a local backup, you always want to be making sure that you're testing it at least once a year. Put it on the calendar. Make sure that it is working, that it's still on, that it's still active. Can't tell you how many times we've had computer crashes and people have to rely on their backups, and they find out that the backup is 10 years old, 5 years old, and it doesn't contain anything useful that they would need to carry on their life or carry on their business. Some really, really bad things can start to happen. Before we wrap up, I just want to thank our sponsor, Perfection Auto Works, again for sponsoring our show. Stop by their location on Speedway Craycroft for your free 26-point inspection. And as always, do not click unverified links in emails or text messages. Use a password manager, enable two-factor authentication, verify all incoming calls and outgoing calls, back up your system to the cloud, listen to the Computer Doctor Show live on Saturdays, and post it as podcasts on Tuesdays. If you missed any part of this episode, go to computerdoctorshow.com, click episodes, find episode 101. My name is Aaron Moss, your host, technology expert. Robert's co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. We'll see you next week.
You enjoyed this episode of the Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.